Kevin Stefanski and Andrew Berry, do you think that they are good at what they do?
Yeah, I think so. Well, Stefanski, two-time coach of the year. Andrew Berry, I don't know. Do we blame the Haslams for the Deshaun Watson debacle?
The questions and the criticisms are more about ownership than anybody on the sideline or in the GM.
He's the head coach of a franchise owned by Jimmy Haslam, so who knows? If you put him in a more stable situation with a less volatile compound in the owner's box, maybe you'd get more.
The Ken Carmen Show with Anthony Lima on Apple Podcasts, Spotify, and wherever you get your podcasts.
I'm Dr. Mary Claire Haver, and my new podcast, Unpaused, is the place for bold, unfiltered conversations about what it takes for women to thrive in the second half of life. Listen to and follow Unpaused, available now wherever you get your podcasts.
Good morning, Larry Richard with anchorman Paul Rasmussen. Big news of the day. Possibility of an end of the shutout or shutdown. That's the big question for a lot of people who are really feeling the economic pinch. We start with CBS's Jared Hill.
There is another vote expected to happen today to try and end this government shutdown. It'll actually be the 12th vote. But the two parties seem to be still very far apart on the key issue that could end this thing. Millions of Americans, meanwhile, are now caught in the middle as paychecks and benefits are about to dry up.
We will not be extorted.
As the government shutdown stretches into day 22, President Trump holding the line after meeting with congressional Republicans Tuesday and rejecting Democrats' call for a meeting of their own.
I'd love to meet with them. I just want them to open up the country first.
Congressional Democrats also aren't backing down on their demand that Republicans negotiate on the rising costs of health care.
Republicans may not have time to fix people's health care, but apparently they got plenty of time for a mini pep rally with Donald Trump.
At a food bank in Maryland, furloughed federal workers like Melissa Westbrook stocked up as they braced for more days without pay.
We don't know when it's going to end, and I need to pay my bills.
Tomorrow, the Senate could take up a bill that would allow some federal workers like active duty military to get paid. A source also confirmed to CBS News that Senate Democrats are working on a bill to pay all federal workers. This as the FAA has issued more ground delays and stops due to air traffic control staffing issues. States are also warning that SNAP benefits will run out if the stalemate continues.
We're hopeful that this will be the week when we break out of this and the Democrats come to their senses.
Today, Senate Majority Leader John Thune says he plans to bring up the House GOP's clean bill to reopen the government through mid-November. A vote for the 12th time with no clear sign much has changed.
Despite the shutdown, the White House says that it will release about $3 billion in aid to American farmers. Some of them have been strained ever since China stopped buying U.S. soybeans during this protracted trade war.
CBS's Jared Hill.
I don't know if I picked up on it or not, Larry, in that report. Did they mention that the Republicans are saying, excuse me, the voice is kind of going a little way off on me this morning. The Republicans are saying that they'll discuss the health care items.
Yes.
After, right? Is that
correct?
Okay.
So people understand the sticking point is the health care.
Yeah, the expiring subsidies for affordable care policies.
Correct. So the Republicans are saying, we'll talk about it, but we're not going to include that in this deal. So the discussion can continue. Obviously, the Democrats don't believe that that'll actually happen, so that's why they're holding tight.
We're about 3 weeks into the shutdown, which means that the temporary spending measure, I would assume, would only last for four. They were thinking about seven, right?
Right. That was going to be the end of November anyway.
I mean, if this thing lasts a month, they may not even have 2 weeks before they have another spending bill cliff to jump off of.
So, by the way, you know, this is day 22. It's now the second longest government shutdown. And the people that are really feeling that economic pinch, and add to it for Pennsylvanians, the fact that we don't have a budget yet. And as you heard, there's great acrimony between the governor and Kim Ward. And Kim's one of the top Republicans, obviously the governor a Democrat. So it doesn't seem like they're getting any further down the road there. And 160,000 people will not have SNAP benefits in Allegheny County.
Oh, actually, it's interesting that you would bring that up, because I was noticing this morning a couple of related items. On the PG website, it says in the Pittsburgh area, 300,000 will lose their SNAP benefits. So they're probably talking about expanded region. And then another story we want to pick up on and expand on this morning was in the Tribune Review. And the commissioners in Westmoreland County have okayed a loan. They're going to apply for one of Stacey Garrity's loans at the Treasury Department so that they can pay for human services in the county. It's like about $100 and some million that they need to continue the human services. These are the people that work directly with people who need health care at home, the elderly, things of this sort, handicapped.
And ironically, the city of Pittsburgh's budget, they're going to be talking about that in great detail in November, as we are going to get a new mayor one way or another.
And I was wondering, I wonder how Corey O'Connor feels about all of this. He's the likely next mayor of the city of Pittsburgh. And everyone's discussing the budget, and everyone has a seat at the table except the person who's going to inherit the budget.
Isn't that interesting?
It's kind of ironic, isn't it?
And he's a money guy because, as you know, he's the current Allegheny County Comptroller, which is a third party of the government and should be the financial overseer of all that spending. They're the ones who do the details. So he knows a lot about putting budgets together. You would think that they would at least have a conversation. Maybe they have. I don't know.
The only word I can come up with to describe the three situations we've just gone over, federal, yeah, state, and local.
Is it a word you could say on the air?
Dysfunctional, right?
Yeah.
Hey, by the way, I wanted to shift gears on the weather real quickly. The National Weather Service last night posted a radar snap of that storm system that passed through. A lot of people were surprised, and me included. I woke up around 10 o'clock to thunder and lightning.
Right.
And they said small hail was included as that line of storms passed over us. And on the X account, Bill Milligan, a guy over, I guess he's in Finleyville, posted a video of some of the hail coming down, and it's significant.
Well,
pretty good sized pebbles here.
Just got home from the Penguin game, so I was up late, for me late, and just after 10, boom, like, where did that come from? So we're not going to be dealing with any of that today, but it's only going to be 50 degrees for a high.
It is chilly out there.
Chilly. Dysfunctional.
Yeah.
I think that's an accurate description of our government, whatever level it is. Oh, well, let's give credit to Allegheny County. At least Arianna Murata's budget didn't include a tax hike this year and isn't in as great dysfunction as the others.
And yesterday, to give Sarah credit for something she's been working on, the 500 in 500 idea of creating housing for the homeless, housing units, she's exceeded that goal. She held a news conference to talk about that yesterday.
I hope that works for everybody's sake. So here we go. Driving the day's news, weekday afternoons with Colin Dunlap, brought to you by Service Master of Greater Pittsburgh, Demand the Yellow Van. So, Aaron, Paul.
Here they come.
Every day this time.
I'm looking forward to these now. I really am. There's no telling what he's going to have found in his rooting around the internet.
Right.
I like rooting around, as Michael Bartley would say. This one, though, I want to start with this. Pittsburgh named one of National Geographic's Best of the World Cities to Visit in 2026. That is absolutely elite international travel listing extraordinaire.
Well, I'll say
25 of the most awe-inspiring, meaningful, and immersive travel experiences of the year, and one of those is Pittsburgh. Maybe, you know, we're so self-deprecating sometimes. Maybe we don't see, obviously, what other people see, because a lot of times you might not think of our city as quite that good. I mean, that's extraordinary.
It is. In fact, we got Jared Bacher's reaction. He's the president and CEO of Visit Pittsburgh. Here's what he said about that.
What Nat Geo told us that they were really impressed by was the investments that are coming into Pittsburgh, including the new Pittsburgh International Airport. But, of course, all of the public spaces that are being invested in, such as Arts Landing, the new Market Square, a lot of the other areas that are being invested in, such as Point State Park, all of those investments really stood out.
And the future here is bright for the region.
And the draft hasn't even come yet.
Well, we had the U.S. Open, which brought international attention.
Right.
And then our international airport is going to open here in weeks, we hope, which will be a whole new window to the world when people come here. And then the largest spectator sport in the region's history in April with the NFL draft.
Right.
And the announcements of the multi-billions of dollars being invested in this state, particularly here in southwestern Pennsylvania, on artificial intelligence, the energy business that is needed to drive that, the robotics. Yeah. Tens of thousands of construction jobs. We should feel good about us, meaning Pittsburgh. So,
and people do come here. They drive through that tunnel with that iconic view of the city. And the first words out of their mouth are, oh my gosh, the city's so pretty.
It is one of the most beautiful skylines in the U.S. There's no arguing that.
Unreal.
This reminds me of an old Saturday Night Live skit where he goes, gosh darn it, people like me.
Stuart Smiley.
Stuart Smiley.
Right.
It was an old skit, Aaron, and he'd have a sweater on. And he would, you know.
This was a Phil Hartman bit.
It's like a self, you know, actualization.
Self-affirmation.
Affirmation.
Type thing. And
yeah. Gosh darn it, people like me.
He would do this in a mirror, by the way.
Pittsburgh, people like us.
It was hysterical.
Yes.
Even though we, you know, sometimes we criticize ourselves too much, you know.
Just a little bit.
We're not this, we're not that, we're not, you know what?
Yeah, one of the things I like the most about us getting the draft is it's going to shift a lot of people's opinions or perceptions about Pittsburgh. When I came to Pittsburgh for the first interview to come to work here, I was unprepared for what it was going to look like. And we came out the tunnel, and like you said, it was wow. And I think that we're going to get so much aerial coverage of right?
Mm-hmm.
There's going to be so many great aerial shots of Pittsburgh, and a lot of people will be seeing it for the first time.
And here's what Gladys in Dormont will say. They got them drones flying all over the house.
Exactly.
Put your curlers away. All right. Check this out. Landlines are making a comeback. It's not because of 90s nostalgia. Parents of Gen Alpha kids want them to have a social life, but not a smartphone. So more are getting wall phones in their kitchen. They're making a comeback. Some new wired phones actually work off a Wi-Fi instead of a phone jack and have parental control so kids can't accidentally call China.
So what you're saying is that they go back with the tech, but it's still like on a Bluetooth type, a Wi-Fi type.
It's almost like fake tech because we were hardwired. And some people still hardwired phone.
You know, I don't know, Aaron, if you understand this concept, but Larry and I do, about fighting over who gets to use the phone next.
You know, I remember being little, and I was visiting my great aunt or something, and I was around my mom and all of her cousins, and they showed me a wall phone was still on the wall, and they were like, we used to do this, and this person would be hopping over this person's back to get to this phone. So I can imagine. And like I said, this generation wants to backtrack so hard, but they don't at the same time.
Mm. Well, I grew up three brothers. I'm the middle child, the well-adjusted middle child, and then we have a younger sister. And it was a battle on the phone. And we all sounded alike, including my dad. So nobody, when they call, they'd be like, Ken, Dave, Larry, Pat.
I love that.
Just run down the list in chronological order. Yeah.
Get off the phone. You would hear that incessantly. So landlines making a comeback. And one other note, Christmas tree, 65-foot Christmas tree showed up overnight in Birmingham, England, in a little town. And it's 2 months early. They are getting ready for their German market. And they skipped right over Halloween. And yesterday, I was in a CVS, and they had their Santa stuff out.
Or go down to Market Square, where a Christmas tree's up. See, question mark.
And I'm one of those old-fashioned people. I don't want to hear Christmas music and all that until after Thanksgiving.
Right.
Right?
All right. We'll call you later.
Thank you.
Show, and with the change in the weather and next weekend changing of the clocks, we wrapping up construction season on the Pennsylvania roads. Well, we have the man. PennDOT's District 11 Executive Jason Zhang is here. Welcome back, Jason.
Thanks, Larry. Good morning. How are you this morning? And thanks for having me.
How's it feel to live in one of the 25 best cities in the world, according to National Geographic?
I grew up here, born and raised. I love it here. So, yeah, it feels good.
All right, let's talk about this big project, Route 28, about the wrong way detection. I know this is something that you've been working on a long time. So what's the status update?
Yeah, we are we're probably 75% completed. We just started this in early spring here of this year, 2025, and should be wrapping up spring of next year, maybe February to March, sometime that time frame. So yeah, it's good progress, great progress. I think they've gotten a lot done in a short amount of time.
Yeah, really, really needed, and there have been some issues over the years and fairly recently too. So this is a life-saving project too. So that'll be done in the spring.
Yep, absolutely. And when somebody gets on the road going the wrong way, it usually does end up, unfortunately, it does seem to end up in a fatality. So it is a very serious problem. This project is not going to eliminate that, because unless you put a barrier up to physically block the ramp, you can't guarantee that somebody's still not going to go the wrong way. But hopefully this helps.
It'll definitely help and save lives. All right, I want to talk to you. Full disclosure, I used the 910 Wexford interchange off of 79. So even last night, coming back from the Penguins game, I saw the southbound traffic. There are some restrictions. And so this is a major project. And can you give us kind of a thumbnail of what exactly is going to happen there, because so many people use that exchange?
Yeah, so what we're doing is basically the biggest part of the project is relocating the northbound 79 ramps, the off-ramp that takes you to 910 and the on-ramp that takes you back to 79 from 910 northbound. We're basically eliminating those, the big pictures, eliminating the ramps where they are and relocating them across 79 to the west of 79 towards Nicholson Road. So that's pretty much the bulk of the project, if I can describe it at a very high level there. So that means we've got to build two bridges, because you're still going to get off to the right. It's not going to be a left. It's not going to be a ramp to your left, you know, exit left. It's going to be a ramp off to the right. But then you're going to basically, as we say, fly over 79 to 910. Yep.
I get it now. So there'll be two new flyover structures that you have to build, and coming from the city. And then you'll be able to, but you'll be getting off on the other side of 79 from where you are now, which will allow a more organized, I guess, because it's a convergence of so many different ways.
Yeah, and one of the big things that does is it eliminates a traffic signal at the northbound off-ramp. So you've got that signal, and then you've got a signal right next to that Brandt School Road and VIP Drive. And, you know, if you use that a lot, you see how that all starts to back up. You get what happens is you get one movement, like everybody trying to make a right. There's not a lot of room to store those cars, and then it just blocks everybody else, and the traffic backs up onto 79. And it's one of the highest crash areas that we have in our district. Yeah, because of when it starts backing up onto the highway there, then you get rear-ended. We've got 290 crashes.
Really?
From 2017 to 2019 in that area.
Kevin Stefanski and Andrew Berry, do you think that they are good at what they do?
Yeah, I think so. Well, Stefanski, two-time coach of the year. Andrew Berry, I don't know. Do we blame the Haslams for the Deshaun Watson debacle?
The questions and the criticisms are more about ownership than anybody on the sideline or in the GM.
He's the head coach of a franchise owned by Jimmy Haslam, so who knows? If you put him in a more stable situation with a less volatile compound in the owner's box, maybe you'd get more.
The Ken Carmen Show with Anthony Lima on Apple Podcasts, Spotify, and wherever you get your podcasts.
Hi, I'm Dr. Mary Claire Haver, a board-certified OBGYN and menopause specialist. My new podcast, Unpaused, is the place for bold, unfiltered conversations about what it really takes for women to thrive in the second half of life. Every week, I sit down with medical experts, cultural icons, and powerhouse women to talk about what really matters: your health, your power, and your future. We're covering hormones, identity, finances, relationships, and so much more. New episodes drop every Tuesday. Listen to and follow Unpaused with me, Dr. Mary Claire Haver, available now wherever you get your podcasts.
5% of those are rear-end crashes, so this is a really important project.
$46.5 million ending September 2027. That's the 910 Wexford interchange off 79. Now, let's go to Boyce Road. Speaking of 79, this is Parkway West, right?
That's right. Yep.
So what's the game plan?
This is good news. It's pretty much done. I mean, we're pretty much wrapping up out there. It's just minor things to finish up with, just some sign structure work, some pavement markings, which this time of year gets to be tricky with the weather. We have to have certain temperatures, and it obviously has to be dry to be putting pavement markings down. But joint sealing, just like what we call punch list work, and that'll wrap up in January. So we're pretty much out of there on that project. We should be out of everybody's way.
All right, you got to get a lot done too before that draft comes.
Yeah, we're not working during the draft. You could be sure of that. We'll be out of people's way.
All right. Appreciate, as always, the update. Good information, Jason. Thank you.
Thank you, Larry.
Jason Zhang is PennDOT District 11 executive, and you're up to date.
Senate passed a budget Tuesday that's likely DOA in the Democratic-controlled House. Governor Josh Shapiro rejected the GOP offer and questioned the Senate's work ethic.
And by the way, they get paid full time for showing up for work only 35 days. I think that's offensive to the good people of Pennsylvania who work every day, and they work their tails off, especially in communities like this.
Well, in the moment when some of those people who aren't getting money and funding they need, it might resonate, but Kim Ward fired back. So what that tells you is it doesn't sound like they're any closer to getting anything done.
Now, her position remains the same, that the budget the governor and the Democrats want is a deficit spending budget, and they would have to raise taxes to pay for it. An animal rights group has filed a lawsuit against the Pittsburgh Zoo and Aquarium, and they're demanding the release of its elephants.
Well, that is not going to happen. I don't see it happening, and we'll see if it gets any traction at all or a response.
The suit says that behavioral experts who know the animal say that these elephants are showing signs of being stressed and they don't like their confinement.
They're stressed. I'm just saying.
There you go. And last night at PPG Paints Arena,
Crosby scores!
Sidney scored last night to move past Mario Lemieux for the most points ever scored by a Penguin.
Followed by Evgeny Malkin, Jaromir Jagr's on that list, but that's rarefied air. And Sidney Crosby obviously is the leader here, but he's also moved up the charts on the NHL's list.
Yeah, in fact, for the all-time points scored list now in the league, he's number 7, just ahead of Mario.
So much fun. I happened to be there last night, and just a sidebar, so were a bunch of the Steelers, including Aaron Rodgers, and basically the offensive lineman and alum Brett Kiesel were all in a box, and when they showed him, the place went nuts, as you can expect. I love to see that inner sport, you know, support that happens here a lot.
And plus, the Pens have won 3 in a row. They got down early by 1 goal and then came back and scored 5 in a row, and they basically put their foot on the gas and never looked back.
I wonder if some of the Pens will be at Acrisure Sunday night when the Steelers host the Green Bay Packers. It's the hottest ticket for a regular season game in memory right now. So, and that's all set up because Aaron Rodgers plays his old team and has a chance to play against all 32 teams.
And Larry, the Steelers are wearing those new throwback jerseys with the gold helmets. It'll, against a team with gold helmets.
Hopefully. This is the Big K Morning Show, and every Wednesday in our 7 o'clock hour, we welcome Rich Fitzgerald, Executive Director of the Southwestern Pennsylvania Commission. Boy, Rich, just in the last week, a lot of big news for the region, and just want to mention right off the top this National Geographic designation as a must-visit city, top 25 in the world.
In the world. It's interesting. We used to be on these lists it's a number of years ago, maybe even before COVID. It seemed like every week there was a list that came out, best place to retire, and Pittsburgh was always on these top 10 lists as we were growing. And then it's been a while. There hasn't been a list. We were best foodie at one point, best restaurants. And it's great to see National Geographic again, worldwide, not just nationally or the East Coast, it is or eastern region of the country, the world.
Paul and I and Aaron joked earlier, you know, sometimes we're almost self-deprecating here and you don't realize that from the outside looking in, as people find out what's going on here and this growth factor was a big part of them designated Pittsburgh as a must-visit city.
Absolutely. And you're right about the first point. We don't brag about ourselves enough. And there's so many great things that are happening here. It is a great place to live, and the weather and all that kind of good stuff, the seasonal change that we're in the midst of right now. And I think you see that in Pittsburghers who have moved away and still have the affection for Pittsburgh. We see it during Steeler games on the road when all those Steeler fans are – they're Steeler fans.
Just saw it in Ireland.
They're Pittsburgh fans more than anything else.
Michael Keaton, who at the Pittsburgh Walk of Fame was one of, obviously, the inaugural stars, said that. He was in a cab, and the cab driver said, you people from Pittsburgh, they always talk about loving being from Pittsburgh, and these are people that are living somewhere else.
You're exactly right, and Pittsburghers, when they're away from Pittsburgh, are very proud, and they talk about how great a city it is if they live in San Francisco or live in Europe or wherever it might be. It's sometimes those of us that are here that like to complain about the traffic. You had Jason Zhang on earlier, like, oh, why all those orange cones I can't get from point A to point B? They're fixing the roads, folks. They're fixing the roads.
Yeah, and Jason, obviously, I love, we're having some regular visits here as we wrap up this construction part of the season. But I think it gives people some real insight into what they do, and maybe they have a little more appreciation when they see those cones.
They really do, and I, in the job that I have in the 10-county region, we work with three different directors, Jason being District 11, Rachel Duda does the southern part of Western Pennsylvania, and Brian Allen, the north part. They're great to work with. They're very cooperative, and I know that people like to beat them up sometimes, but I will tell you from my standpoint, professional, 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 and we're going to get to see some of the, you know, in innovative things when they take those big by the Squirrel Hill Tunnel, the Commercial Street bridges, is they're going to take one bridge out and slide another bridge in. How they plan and how they get things done, they've been great to work with.
And that's happening next summer. I'm sure John Shumway will be on the spot. He loves that kind of stuff.
Absolutely. Really, it's great pictorial. And when we saw the Fern Hollow Bridge, as they, and again, PennDOT took that project over and got it done in less than a year, kind of under the orders of President Biden and Governor Wolf, watching how they did those major, major engineering feats was, and people would come out to watch it. I mean, it was a summer extravaganza for entertainment for people in that Regent Square part of the world.
That's not necessarily just a Pittsburgh thing, but we love watching that. What are them guys doing? All right. Speaking of what are them guys doing, the airport, you had the ceremonial ribbon cutting a couple Saturdays ago now. Things are optimistic that at some point, well, we know we'll get it open at some point, but it's just the locking down on the date. What's this airport auction?
Well, every year, the airport has an auction. Pittsburgh International Airport has an auction in which people who leave things behind and end up in lost and found, and they're not just little trinkets. People leave a car in the airport parking lot and just abandon it. I mean, they've auctioned off cars, other vehicles, other baubles, if you will, that end up in lost and found and don't go through security, and people don't come back to reclaim them. So they hold this auction. It'll be held next week. You'll have later this week, and you'll have a chance to bid on some of those items.
Well, I thought maybe I could put a bid in on the tram, since that there would be you go. Obsolete. Yeah.
Well, you should, of all people. I mean, you have the naming rights or the voice rights of it. So maybe you can bid on getting Larry's voice on the train. That could be a special auction item for the Airport Authority.
All right. In your current role, it encompasses 10 counties and the city of Pittsburgh. We're going to take you to Westmoreland County, which is one of those that's really doing some things that are popping. I mean, there's some exciting things happening there.
There's a lot of good things going on. There was just a story last week about the whole Amazon big logistics center that they have, the warehouse out in New Stanton. They're hiring like crazy, and they're going to hire up to 1,000 people they're going to be working in that job. And they've got the track out there, the Penn Start track of the autonomous vehicles, autonomous trucks, where they're doing a lot of testing in the RADC site out there. And then, of course, another data center in this region is going to happen in Westmoreland County. So we're going to hear from County Commissioner Sean Curtis, Commissioner Chairman Curtis, and also he's also, like everybody else, dealing with the state budget shutdown.
In studio and introducing a commissioner from Westmoreland County. It's booming right now.
It's a lot of good things happening in Westmoreland County, and we're delighted to be joined by County Commission Chairman Sean Curtis, who's very, very busy these days with a lot of good things going on. We're going to hit some of these topics right up front, and I want to maybe start with Amazon. Commissioner, welcome.
Well, thank you, Larry, and thank you, Rich, obviously. I'm glad to be on the show as you have me on here. So, yes, as you said, Rich, Amazon, you know, we are so happy about this, that opened in 2024 with their new distribution site in New Stanton. There's a $120 million investment into Westmoreland County, and they currently have a total of 600 jobs right now in the region and paying $23 an hour. And there was an article over the weekend that's showing they want to obviously exponentially grow this facility with hiring more people and obviously making sure that there's enough, maybe in the future potentially, to have some other sites around the region, around the area. So it's really exciting for the New Stanton area, because New Stanton is a very unique hub, because you have the 70, I-76, 119, and 66 corridors all combined in one location. And down the road of I-70, we're seeing major upgrades due to the fact that we have road improvements from PennDOT, as well as our industrial park of Westmoreland County that has opened a new industrial park in general. So with the Amazon site, we're hoping to see some crossover, some more expansions, obviously, with that. And the more jobs, the merrier, and as well as more people moving into the county. The other thing that's really unique to Westmoreland that we have been really really excited about is this project that I talked about, I'd say maybe two times when you had me on. It's called the Penn Start Project, and it's located in Westmoreland's RIDC IDC Park campus, which is the old Sony plant or the old VW plant right outside New Stanton as well. And this is a 2-mile testing, training, and research track for transportation innovation with Carnegie Mellon, PennDOT, the PA Turnpike Commission, and RIDC. And it's going to focus on AV and robotic testing, emergency responders, AV working training, and obviously infrastructure. This is a 2-mile test track that will be unique to the region, and it will support autonomous vehicle development and testing, as well as traffic management, ensuring first responders have real-world experience. This is a $20 million project that will be using, obviously, long story short, AI training and development with Carnegie Mellon and Turnpike Commission. So later this year, we were told that we're going to have a big celebration because they're going to start this project. They're breaking ground. And we've been told many different things. But from what we understand with this hub, because we have land, that the Turnpike Commission at one point would like to see autonomous vehicles possibly be used on the road. And this will be the first site that would allow this to happen. And the training with the Turnpike Commission and PennDOT would happen here in Westmoreland County. So once again, look forward to that. I believe we're going to see all the electeds as well as the higher-ups come out some point in 26, probably more toward when the weather starts breaking better. And finally, the big one that we see on the news every day is data centers and tech fusion. This is the announcement of the 1400 facility of the Alcoa Arconic site that's up in the New Kensington, Lower Borough area. And it's a 3 gigawatt data center that will be opening up. And we know Alcoa has been a huge player, hired many people. They moved out. We have Arconic that moved in. And seeing all of the work and everything they've done, this is going to be a major infusion and injection to, obviously, Westmoreland County, the northern tier. That's going to help that region as well as employees up that way. So, as you said, Rich, there's a lot happening. We're trying to keep our finger on the pulse. There's so many different things, but we're very, very happy. We're very blessed to see this. And regionally, we're trying to work, obviously, collaboratively with all of our counties now to see the importance of how we can make Western Pennsylvania as a whole better.
There's a lot of good things, as you mentioned, happening. And one of the things I think you guys should be very proud of is the Westmoreland Community College and the training and the workforce development that's happening out there. And Larry and I had a chance to meet with some of the folks in Independence Health a week ago, and they have some real needs as far as you've got 3 facilities that they have in Latrobe, Frick and Greensburg, and they're looking for a lot of training in nursing and technology and technicians, et cetera. So there's a lot of opportunities for young people who can have a great career right there in Westmoreland County.
I couldn't agree more. I mean, Independent Healthcare, obviously our local regional hospital, it's combined with Butler. They're investing money as well in the hospitals, opening a new behavioral health wing, trying to hire, as you said, Rich, more and more.
It's not coming from Brent Veach and Andy Reid, and it's not coming from Sean McVay. It's coming from the Cleveland Browns. And yeah. You're seeing exactly
why it's not coming from those guys?
Because they didn't draft him. They didn't want him to begin with. This was the one team that wanted him, and they're telling you he's behind. Maybe it's not a grand conspiracy. Maybe everybody is right, and the Shador fans, you wackos. Maybe it's your guy is just not ready. Maybe you got to come to grips with it.
The Ken Carmen Show with Anthony Lima on Apple Podcasts, Spotify, and wherever you get your podcasts.
I'm Dr. Mary Claire Haver. Ready for honest conversations about thriving in midlife? Listen to and follow my new podcast, Unpaused, available now wherever you get your podcasts.
People, nurses and doctors, and their investments is really a key thing to see here. And like I said, new mental health ward that's coming in to the juvenile will be the first focus on the eastern part of the county, which will be the Latrobe region. And then they want to expand that to adults as well. So, you know, actions and speak louder than words, and their investment is proof that they're here long term and what they want to do and hire more people. So, yes.
Yeah. There, if you go to Westmoreland County, you kind of feel, you know, you guys got something going, especially on that corridor to the airport. I know we talked to Gabe Monzo about the expansion there. And also convention center talk. Is that something still on the radar?
Yeah, I mean, the convention center talk has been, we found out years ago when we did a comprehensive plan in 2019 that, believe it or not, was like the number 3 or number 2 that the residents wanted to see. So with live casino being in Westmoreland County now, there is a true, obviously, movement to make this happen. We did a study. We are really in the process of trying to figure that out. But is there anything else? Who's going to pay for it? We're hoping, obviously, with private funders to come in. But there is a major push. I know that the local municipalities, as well as a lot more of private companies around the region, are pushing for it. So I think it's just when, not if.
Right.
Is it going to be sooner or will it be later? But yes.
Well, that's good news. Well, you had a pretty comprehensive update, Sean. Thank you.
We appreciate it, Commissioner. Hang in there, and we keep our fingers crossed that there will be a state budget at some point. Yeah. Thanks.
Yeah, say thank you so much. Thank you both. Take care. Appreciate it.
There it's Commissioner Sean Curtis from Westmoreland County.
Yeah. They he's talked about some of the things going on. And we think about autonomous vehicles. A lot of us think, obviously, in and around CMU and the Strip District area with Aurora. But that big test track at PennStart, a lot of technology, a lot of investment, a lot of jobs are going to happen right there in the RADC park in Westmoreland County.
Yeah, and a lot of people kind of know where that area is from over the years of the different development that's been there. What is the old Sony plant going back?
Going back to the, it was the old Volkswagen plant that's going back even further. So
they used to make those big screen TVs.
Exactly. Yeah.
All right. Until sunrise. Larry Richard with Rich Fitzgerald, Executive Director of the Southwestern Pennsylvania Commission. We were just talking about how it's still dark early.
It's hard to get used to that a little bit. I remember, a couple months ago coming out, it's nice and bright and the sun's coming up, and now you come out and you got to worry about those deer, though. This is deer season, and you really got to watch, when you're driving.
It's also their mating season, so they're active and running around, as we say in Pittsburgh. And then we change the clocks a week from Saturday, so that'll be overnight. Into November 1st, into the 2nd. Saturday. It's technically 2 a.m. Sunday, but everybody
exactly. So the kiddos won't on Halloween. They'll still be it'll be bright, still be light when they go out early in the evening. But then
yes. But it also this year Halloween falls on a Friday, so that's actually better for everybody. I think.
Absolutely. When they can eat all that candy, they won't have to worry about getting up for school the next morning. So.
All right, let's talk about this announcement yesterday, this company, and I think this is a great harbinger for the region, that a company wants to move their headquarters to Pittsburgh.
This is huge, and I give Joe Mastrangelo, and I've known Joe for a number of years, and we worked with him when I was in the position before, and now I give Sarah and the governor a lot of credit for bringing this home. $350 million investment in manufacturing, energy manufacturing. We talk a lot about energy with data centers and natural gas, but this is storage. This is a battery storage company that assembles and manufactures these batteries that will allow the storage of energy when it's done, whether it's by solar, by wind, or by fossil fuel, whatever it might be. And they had a lot of choices of where they could go. And they've been in Turtle Creek for a number of years, and they're based in New Jersey, but they're moving their operation here to Nova Place, which is a great place over in the north side, the old Allegheny Center Mall, and then into Marshall Township. So they've invested, it's going to be nearly 1,000 jobs total, 700 new jobs, and the 200-some jobs that will be preserved. So County Executive Inamorata and her team and Governor Shapiro and his team really worked on this with the Allegheny Conference and others really to put this together.
So I'm curious, Rich, with all of the things that we talked about coming, construction jobs.
Yes.
Nursing jobs, tech jobs for all of these industries. How many jobs are there going to be available here in the next few years?
A lot. And the mindset, I think, of a lot of us in southwestern Pennsylvania, which for years has been, there aren't going to be family-sustaining jobs here, so I need to move to Denver or L.A. or some other place. No, right now, and not just for right now, but for the next half decade to a decade, if you're coming out of school, you're in middle school right now, you're in high school, there are opportunities in all these industries. Construction, as you mentioned, is going to be booming. Energy, whether you're going to be producing energy, storing energy, transmitting energy, eds and meds, we talk about the medical facilities, 600-some jobs at Independence Health. There's a lot going on. And if you get the skills and get the training, boy, you can live a great life here in Western Pennsylvania.
Where do you get the training?
Well, you could get it at some of our great universities, obviously Pitt, CMU, Duquesne, Robert Morris, et cetera. Or our community colleges have really done a great job, whether it's Beaver County, Butler County, Westmoreland County, Allegheny County. Community colleges have all got great programs. And even our building trades apprentice programs, whether it be carpenters, electricians, iron workers, steam fitters. There's so many different areas you can go through. And it's really incumbent on some of our high school and middle school to really guide and allow, give people the knowledge of what is out there. Because when you're a young kid, you just don't know these things. Maybe you follow your parent's job. If your parent was a teacher, you're going to be a teacher. If your parent was a nurse, you might go into nursing or whatever it might be. But there's other opportunities, and I think we need to do a better job of educating and communicating to young people what possibilities are there in the future.
A very wise young man, age 19, said to me this week, you know, I was thinking about the trades, and I said, good, there's a lot of good opportunities. He said, because in the trades, AI won't replace a plumber, for instance, as one example, because you have to have somebody that has the skill set and knowledge to do that work. And we're not there yet with robots to do your plumbing, things like that. So there's a place for everybody in this.
There really is. And you're right. If you are building a building, if you are working and fixing a building, AI can't replace that. It's got to be somebody who's going in there and has some technical knowledge, can work with their hands, can make some decisions on how to fix things. Medical facilities, nurses, technicians, you're still going to need people to do these things. So AI certainly can be a tool to improve efficiency for companies and for operations, but in energy, you've got to produce it. You still have to make it. And you still have to transmit it and build all the things that can have that happen, like the battery storage that EOS is going to be doing. So these things are it's going to change. It always does change. We've always seen this in our history. But there's the great thing about this region right now is there's so many opportunities.
I thought it was really nice touch to add to the Strip District, which is booming, and I got to see your office for the first time last week. You're right there in that terminal building. And the new Walk of Fame, the inaugural class with Michael Keaton being here, that was a fun but a significant moment and day for the city.
It really was. And I'm fortunate. Yes, you're right. I just got to walk out the door and
yeah, for you,
I was right.
See it.
I was right there. And it was really touching to actually be there. And, you know, to give Nancy and her team, Nancy Polinsky, I mean, this woman's been driving this for a decade or more. I mean, I can't tell you how many times she was in my office as the county executive. I'm sure she was in the mayor's office and many offices around the city and around the region about thinking where to do this. But the important thing to me was we are honoring the tradition of what Pittsburghers, Mr. Rogers, Andy Warhol, Jonas Salk, Roberto Clemente, Michael Keaton, all the people that were honored, so that when people do come here, and the Strip District has really become the place where out-of-town visitors like to spend some time, and they can kind of stroll, if you will, up Smallman Street in front of the terminal building and get to read and see about the great history, the Andrew Carnegies, the Rachel Carsons, the Nellie Blys, and all the people that we honored in that first cohort.
And what I love about the Strip, it's almost, for me, the perfect combo of the old and the new.
Yes.
With the terminal building being both, because it was there for a century, and now it's all new, but it still maintains. And then you have 1,000 apartments and townhouses from behind there to the river with more growth going on. And you showed me right across from your office where there's construction and more apartments. And then you go a block over to Penn, and it still has that old world feel, kind of a organic, eclectic. There aren't a lot of cookie cutter businesses there. It's Pittsburgh stuff. So the combo of both is pretty special.
It has really been, and the terminal has been a great mix of, like you said, the young and the old. And it's a place where you can go and you're not rushed. You know, sometimes when you're in downtown, you're on Smithfield, you're going very quickly to go from one place to the other. In the Strip District, you can take your time. And you, like you said, you still have Woolies and you still have Penn Mac and some of the, you know, places that have been there for decade after decade, family after family. That's, you get the good cheeses and the good fish. And
Sinceri's family.
Sinceri's, exactly. And that, it still has that old feel, but you do have this new generation of young people that have discovered. You've got the trail on the Allegheny River, which is beautiful. And then you've got, you know, it really is a nice mix of technology, residential, commercial, and old world feel. And again, when there's a big weekend, and I'm sure this weekend, I'm going to look out the window on Friday and see all these Green Bay Packer jerseys as they come to visit. And that's where the out-of-town visitors like to come.
Yeah, and you've got the 1-2 punch. You've got Pitt's homecoming with North Carolina State. That's 3:30 kick at Acrisure. Then a Sunday night football game with Packers Steelers. Yeah, it's going to be a busy weekend in the Berg.
So. Yeah, and the Strip is where they like to come, so it's good.
All right, a final word with Rich Fitzgerald coming up first.
Budget Tuesday that's likely DOA in the Democratic-controlled House. Governor Josh Shapiro on Tuesday rejected the GOP offer and questioned the Senate's work ethic.
And by the way, they get paid full time for showing up for work only 35 days. I think that's offensive to the good people of Pennsylvania who work every day and they work their tails off, especially in communities like this.
So it doesn't sound like we're any closer, Rich, to resolution.
But sometimes when they get to that point, that becomes the point in which they say, okay, let's work this out. Hopefully that gets the case.
Hopefully that is the case.
An animal rights group has filed a lawsuit against the Pittsburgh Zoo and Aquarium demanding the release of its elephants.
Some of their issues are that the elephants, I guess, spend their lives together with a mate. And if they separate them, you know, but I don't know where they would go. They're such a huge attraction, and they have that beautiful open, you know, they're not in a cage per se. They have that little savanna.
And they've had this beautiful fall with a pumpkin.
It's not coming from Brent Veach and Andy Reid, and it's not coming from Sean McVay. It's coming from the Cleveland Browns. And yeah. You're seeing exactly you know what why people it's not, outside of Cleveland you know, think of the Browns, outside of Browns. You know why fans. It's not coming from those guys? Because they didn't draft him. They didn't want him to begin with. This was the one team that wanted him, and they're telling you he's behind. Maybe it's not a grand conspiracy. Maybe everybody is right, and the Shador fans, you wackos. Maybe it's your guy is just not ready. Maybe you got to come to grips with it.
The Ken Carmen Show with Anthony Lima. On Apple Podcasts, Spotify, and wherever you get your podcasts.
Hi, I'm Dr. Mary Claire Haver, a board-certified OBGYN and menopause specialist. My new podcast, Unpaused, is the place for bold, unfiltered conversations about what it really takes for women to thrive in the second half of life. Every week, I sit down with medical experts, cultural icons, and powerhouse women to talk about what really matters, your health, your power, and your future. We're covering hormones, identity, finances, relationships, and so much more. New episodes drop every Tuesday. Listen to and follow Unpaused with me, Dr. Mary Claire Haver, available now wherever you get your podcasts.
And the jack-o'-lanterns, our granddaughter's been, it's wonderful right now, and people are flocking to the Pittsburgh Zoo, and they've done a great job.
At PPG Paints Arena.
Crosby scores!
Sidney Crosby's goal last night put him past Mario Lemieux for the most points ever scored by a Penguin.
Yeah, I was there last night, just happened to be in my first Pens game of the season, and it was pretty special. And Letang got his 600th, which puts him in rarefied air. But what about having Sidney Crosby, Mario Lemieux, Evgeny Malkin?
We've had a great tradition over the six decades that the Penguins have been in operation. And Sidney Crosby, to me, just embodies what Pittsburghers aspire to, just a guy that goes to work every day, works hard, and just day after day after day. And now he's the all-time point leader and moving up in the NHL pantheon as well.
Yeah, good stuff. And you know who was there? Aaron Rodgers, the Steelers offensive line, alum Brett Kiesel, when they showed them, they all had Penguin jerseys on. It was Aaron had that blue hat, you said, Paul.
Yeah, the baby blue uniform, that color with that circular logo on it. It's a classy hat.
When they showed him, I was with some friends. They're like, where's he at? I'm like, we're not going to get near him, but it was cool that the Steelers were there to support the Penguins, and I imagine there may be a few Penguins at the game on Sunday night.
Some of them may be there on Sunday night to root for the black and gold.
Thank you, Paul. Rich, thank you, as always, bringing us news from around the 10-county area in the city of Pittsburgh.
Yeah, there's a lot more coming on, and next week we've got some special guests we'll be talking about, but there's a lot of good things happening in this region we can be proud of.
Something else is coming. Rich Fitzgerald, Executive Director of the Southwestern Pennsylvania Commission. This is the Big K Morning Show. Larry Richard with anchorman Paul Rasmussen. Well, in the midst of all the other news, and some of that out of Harrisburg, a state Senate committee yesterday backed the creation of a cannabis control board to oversee the already established medical marijuana program. What does this mean? Are we closer to recreational cannabis usage? The co-founder of Plant Media Project, Gina Wenzel, is with us. Gina has become our go-to and resident expert on this subject. And how are you this morning?
I'm doing great, Larry. Thanks for having me on.
Yeah, and for those that don't know, you've been involved in a lot of what's going on in the region, but I know your passion here is to see this through. Is this bringing recreational cannabis any closer to reality?
Well, we've seen that with our the pending Senate Bill 120, which is a bipartisan bill that Senator Lachlan out of Erie and Senator Street out of Philadelphia have co-authored. It states specifically in that legalization bill the call out for a cannabis control board. And this is really important. So this bill that was passed by the Senate yesterday is not a legalization bill. It was a bill to form this cannabis control board. And that's important because if you think about it, where will this live once cannabis becomes legalized? We know that the Department of Health has been quite slow and is not really equipped to handle legalization. And there was talks about our Pennsylvania Liquor Control Board taking over. And we don't want, cannabis being run by our liquor control board. So this cannabis control board would be the regulatory body that would be able to handle legalization. So this is a great step forward, but it's not legalization yet. But if we can get the control board approved, then it's one step closer, and we have this bipartisan bill ready to go. So we're hoping that it'll go to vote soon.
And we've talked about this for years, Gina. In your best guesstimate, time-wise, a lot of people are curious how long this might take.
Well, if we know that we're still waiting on the budget. It was written, cannabis was written into this year's budget. We keep talking this morning about how this is so important. Where's the money going to come from? And the cannabis in Pennsylvania could be where these dollars come from. The tax revenue is really high. So if we can get this bill to a vote, it could happen soon. But if not, it's going to be delayed again. And then if it doesn't make it into this budget, we're kicking the can down the road because all of our neighboring states have passed legalization, which means we have our neighbors driving across state lines, breaking federal law to pick up their cannabis because they can't legally do so in PA without a medical card. And there's still so many people getting arrested. And this is an issue about justice. I mean, the FBI just released data showing that in 2024, there were 200,000 people that were arrested for cannabis, and 90% of them was for possession alone. So if you think about it, I mean, we're cannabis is legal in 40 out of the 50 states for medical use and 24 states for recreational or adult use. So why are so many people still going to jail for this? We shouldn't be spending money on putting people into prison over a plant when we know if we legalize it that we can use that revenue to help things like our schools and our roads.
That's the great irony, and you point that out, is 40 states have medical marijuana programs, and for them to spend money and incarcerate people for recreational use seems really to fly in the face of any kind of logic.
That's absolutely right. And I'm on the National Board for Students for Sensible Drug Policy. We're actually heading to Harrisburg next Monday and Tuesday to lobby for adult use cannabis. So we'll be tabling in the main rotunda of the Capitol on Monday from 9 a.m. to noon. We're going to be dropping literature off to educate our lawmakers. We're going to make sure that every single member of the House and Senate gets information about the importance of why the time is now for PA to get on the right side of history and to legalize cannabis. We'll be doing a press conference on Tuesday, October 28th at 9 a.m., and we have different organizations from both sides of the aisle coming together to talk about this because we believe cannabis legalization is a bipartisan issue, and it is something that we need to get behind so that we can keep up with our neighboring states, we can support our, like we talked about, our budget, and get people out of jail over a plant.
Is there any movement federally because it's still classified as a Schedule I drug?
And isn't that interesting, Larry? Schedule I drug means that there's no medical value for the drug. And yet we just talked about 40 states saying that cannabis is a medicine. So right away we know that the scheduling of this plant is completely wrong. And so there have been talks within even President Trump's office saying that, he may reschedule, but you know, he's very unpredictable and we don't really know, but we're going to continue lobbying with the federal government as well. SSDP is doing a big lobby week, but it won't be until May of next year, but we're going to continue this fight. And it has been so many years, Larry, we're still talking about this. And so I'm hoping that we're going to see some movement. It seems like our state is in a prime position right now to get this passed. And who knows, we might see that President Trump realizes that you know, this isn't a Schedule One drug and may, you know, deschedule it, or may schedule it and move it to like maybe a Schedule Three, which would open up more ability for research. But at the end of the day, there's not going to be justice until it's completely descheduled, because we want everybody that's been incarcerated for nonviolent cannabis crimes to be let out of prison, and we want their records expunged. And that's really important to us at SSDP. And, you know, we're working really, really hard to see what we can do to educate our lawmakers, to let them see the benefits of this plant, and so that we can get PA legalized.
Gina, appreciate the time and passion. Thank you.
Thank you so much, Larry.
Gina Wentzel, co-founder of Plant Media Project, and reaction to the creation of a cannabis control board in the state of Pennsylvania passed by the Senate Committee. To Myra Rush in our studio from the newsroom.
That's me.
Good morning.
Good morning.
What's trending, T?
These airports are trending.
Oh, because of the TSA government
workers,
shutdown?
Yes.
22 days in.
I am afraid to fly.
TSA workers working, for the most part, without being paid.
Yes.
They're getting antsy.
Yeah, and some, and I saw on social media yesterday, Atlanta is already a very, very, very busy airport.
Yeah, it's the busiest airport in the world.
Yes, and their lines was, I can't even tell you. I was in awe. I was like.
All right, so I went to flypittsburgh.com, okay, which is the local website. Current security wait times. Guess how long it is.
How long? Five, like what, 30 minutes?
3 minutes.
3 minutes. Way to go, Pittsburgh. Way to go.
I want to give
Bobby Kerlick and the team. Yeah.
I want to give our TSA in Pittsburgh a shout out, because they show up for work and we appreciate you. So.
Yeah. I mean, people are probably nervous of going to the airport. You're going to spend most of your time in the airport, missing flights, delayed flights.
It's a big factor.
It's a big, big, big factor. But that's one of my things.
It's not coming from Brent Veach and Andy Reid, and it's not coming from Sean McVay. It's coming from the Cleveland Browns. And you're seeing exactly
you know why it's not
outside of Cleveland.
You know,
think of the Browns, outside of
you
Browns.
You know
fans.
Why it's not coming from those guys? Because they didn't draft him. They didn't want him to begin with. This was the one team that wanted him, and they're telling you he's behind. Maybe it's not a grand conspiracy. Maybe everybody is right, and the Shador fans, you wackos.
Maybe it's your guy is just not ready. Maybe you got to come to grips with it.
The Ken Carmen Show with Anthony Lima on Apple Podcasts, Spotify, and wherever you get your podcasts.
I'm Dr. Mary Claire Haver. Ready for honest conversations about thriving in midlife? Listen to and follow my new podcast, Unpaused, available now wherever you get your podcasts.
Looking to fly out of town sometime soon.
Oh, this is self-serving. Where are you going?
Nowhere. I'm not going anywhere. I'm just saying. I'm just thinking. It's time for me to take a flight somewhere, though.
Oh, yeah.
Oh, yeah.
You need to take a trip. You'll miss picture day.
I don't even know where to start. We come in and I see Pat.
He's all dolled
to the 12s.
Up.
He's all dolled up.
I'm a little surprised.
A sweater vest. And
that Pat Septak, our accordion extraordinaire phenom,
look, is. This can't be right.
Not wearing lederhosen.
I'm about to tell. I'm going home. I'm going back home to get dressed to take this picture.
I'm going home.
Look
fine.
At you. You don't have any. You should
what do you
look
mean,
better.
Look at me. I wore a nice shirt.
You weren't prepared. I could tell. You.
What do you mean? Prepared. I got my hair cut and everything.
No.
Aaron.
Look at Larry. Just admit it. You're not prepared. You don't look prepared.
Well,
I'm not prepared. I don't have a jacket on.
Well, Larry, I said it to Myra. This is the one day that I didn't have my signature lip. So I said, I'm going to need to borrow your red lipstick.
My popping.
You know. If that's what we're doing, yeah. I got
to
borrow some.
All right,
lipstick.
So this all comes down to Amy, who works with all five of our radio stations, sent out a memo last night that today's picture day. Mm-hmm. And we're getting new headshots, they call them, in the business.
Mm-hmm. What? And, individual headshots?
Oh, yeah.
Oh, my gosh.
Yeah.
Well, I'm always prepared, though. I have a blazer.
Well, can I borrow it?
You can fit it.
No. Whoa.
You said you could. Can you borrow it? I'm saying you could fit it. Of course. I have a leather blazer jacket over there. Aaron, you can wear that. I have a blue jean blazer over there. I have some things.
Well, you know what?
I'm not prepared for this. I'm stressed.
What's wrong with my shirt? What do you?
Hold on.
Aaron, what's wrong with a shirt? This is Joseph A. Banks.
I look like you're going to a pumpkin patch.
It's not orange.
You know what, though? We might as well be authentic. Not everyone's dressed to the 9 or the 12 on a day-to-day basis.
Oh, God. You look great.
Oh, yeah.
You look great, Larry.
Thanks for the support.
Anyway, let's move on, right?
Please.
I want to talk about the zoo animals. I'm so upset. How do you feel about that?
What do you mean, how do I feel?
About the elephants. How do you feel, Larry?
I think the elephants probably get treated pretty good here.
Do you think so?
I do.
I'm so upset.
What?
Because I don't like to hear that animals are being abused.
That says somebody.
I mean, I'm just saying. They live in that savannah.
At the
they're
zoo.
They're in the wild. They're open. They're free. I'm not an animal rights person at all, but just to read the story, and I'm actually reporting on the story, I'm so sad by that. I'm hoping that that's not happening.
Well, what is their issue, and who is this group?
The group is called the Non-Human Rights Project, which portrays itself as an organization dedicated to securing legal rights for animals. Also, they issued a statement on the website about the lawsuit saying the Non-Human Rights Project has submitted a habeas corpus petition demanding the right to liberty for 5 elephants held captive in the Pittsburgh Zoo. Leading experts in elephant cognition and behavior support this lawsuit. The elephants are suffering and need to be freed. I don't know. They look pretty happy to me. Well, it's 5 of them. Angeline, Savannah, Tasha, Victoria, and Zori.
I'll tell you, it's us getting to have these pictures taken as who's suffering.
Are you saying you're being abused worse than the animals? Is that what you're saying?
At least they have a savannah. I'm locked in this room.
Oh, my God. I'm not touching
all
that
right.
one.
Can I borrow that jacket?
Not this jacket. I have a blazer, a sharp blazer with gold buttons. It's very nice.
All right, Miss Thing. Thank you, T. That's what's trending.
I guess. I'm out of here.
This is the Big K Morning Show. With so many stories, this kind of flew under the radar for the most part. And many people thought student loan forgiveness was pretty much a dead issue. That is apparently not the case. And joining us from CBS, Michael Wallace. Michael, good morning.
Hey, Larry, good morning.
So what are some of the highlights of this announced student loan forgiveness that has the attention of millions of people who are hoping that they are going to get some?
Yeah, well, a couple of million people will. So let's go back a few months. The Trump administration gets back into office. They canceled a lot of those Biden administration student loan forgiveness programs and plans. Well, in March, the American Federation of Teachers sued the Department of Education, claiming that it illegally stopped providing forgiveness in some of these so-called income-driven repayment programs. 2.5 million people are enrolled in those. So this was about to go to court, and the Trump administration kind of caved a little bit here, and they reached an agreement with the teachers union that they will resume that forgiveness. So this is for people who have borrowed in 2 different kinds of plans. There's income contingent repayment plans, or ICRs, and pay-as-you-earn plans, pay-IYEs. These are mostly for borrowers who have been paying for a while, usually 20 or 25 years. So they will start getting some forgiveness. Of course, the big caveat here is we're in the middle of the shutdown. So the Department of Education would normally process a lot of these forgiveness payments and plans. So it might take a few weeks or months for some of these people to see the forgiveness or see the, you know, get their money back, depending on how long the shutdown drags on.
That's the great irony, is you can't really do anything about it now. However, it is good news for a lot of people who that was a contract made with the government, and they were promised this, you know, contractually. So it's going to take a while, but this isn't, when people hear student loan forgiveness, Michael, as you know, a lot of people assume that everybody's getting a break, and that's not the case.
No, not at all. For instance, people who have signed up with, at the time, the Biden administration SAVE program, this is not covered under that. Those people still have to pay back. We should also point out, even these two programs that are under this agreement, the ICR and the pay-as-you-earn plans, you know, Trump's Big Beautiful Bill Act, which Congress, of course, passed months ago, that act is going to phase out these student forgiveness programs in July of 2028. So even people who are have had their forgiveness resurrected, if you will, by this agreement, in 3 years, this is all going to be wiped out anyway. So this is kind of a, for some, you know, these 2.5 million people, this is kind of a short-term hallelujah, grace, thank you, I'll get my forgiveness back. But in 3 years, most of this goes away anyway.
Appreciate the update and the time, Michael. Thank you.
Okay, Larry. Take care.
CBS is Michael Wallace. Other news from Washington. A January 6th rioter is now back in jail. With that story, CBS's Scott McFarlane.
Christopher Moynihan was on the Senate floor, rifling through desks and helping seize control of the Senate dais on January 6th, an act that landed him in prison, now less than a year after being pardoned along with the other 1,500-plus riot defendants by President Trump. Moynihan is behind bars again. He allegedly sent text messages last week about House Democratic leader Hakeem Jeffries, saying he must be eliminated. I cannot allow this terrorist to live, and noting Jeffries had an upcoming speech in New York City. Jeffries did, in fact, appear Monday at the Economic Club of New York, one day after Moynihan was arrested by New York State Police.
What do you make of it? The person accused of threatening you is the recipient of one of those blanket pardons.
I think the reckless and irresponsible pardons of hundreds of violent felons on January 6th has consequences.
U.S. House Speaker Mike Johnson did not denounce the pardons, but condemned the threats.
Anybody who threatens to kill any political official, we denounce it absolutely. They ought to have justice fall upon their head.
A CBS News review found a surge in threats against members of Congress this year. More than 14,000 investigations so far, surpassing all of 2024. With the recent assassination of Charlie Kirk and the state Democratic leader and her husband in Minnesota. Former federal prosecutor Mike Romano says political violent actors become malicious celebrities and, if freed, risk becoming repeat offenders.
They're still driven by the same motivation. They're still likely connected to the same groups. They're still likely talking to some of the same people. The motivations and the social organizations that encourage them to commit violence persist.
A review by CBS News found nearly a half dozen other January 6th defendants who've been arrested again in the months since their pardons, including for breaking and entering, theft, child abuse. As for Christopher Moynihan, he's pleaded not guilty and is back in court Thursday. Scott McFarlane, CBS News, Washington.
Well, big cool down as we get ready for this weekend. And next weekend, somebody asked, when do we change the clocks? That won't be until after Halloween, which is on a Friday next week, and then November 1st into the 2nd is when we change the clocks. But right now we're still on, is it daylight savings or is it standard time? Aaron, do you know?
No, I don't know. I get confused, honestly.
Well, you notice, and Rich Fitzgerald, who was in our 7 o'clock hour, noticed it's, you know, sunrise keeps getting later and later, so at least it'll back that up a little bit.
Right.
But then obviously it gets darker earlier, which is kind of a harbinger of the months ahead.
Right. You have dinner at 6. It's pitch black outside.
yeah, exactly. And he is back in the burg in a big way with his new book, Hurdleisms, and just to be back in Pittsburgh. Clint, good morning.
Good morning, Larry. How you doing, brother?
Doing good. I went to the Pens game last night. I saw Aaron Rodgers and the offensive line. Brett Kiesel was there. They're all wearing Penguin jerseys. And I used to love how when you were managing the Pirates, your guys would come to games and vice versa. So it was kind of special. And then see Sidney Crosby become the all-time scoring leader for the organization. It was a great night.
Well, there's not much better than Penguins hockey, is there? And to represent, to share that, you know, the love and the understanding of how hard sport can be and how appreciative we are, the fan base. You know, anytime our players, myself, we get a chance to watch a Steelers game, watch a Penguin game, we moved on it.
And you have moved around the country, obviously, most recently with Colorado. You didn't mean it to be a full-time job, right? You kind of got drafted.
I left my house on April 8th. I mean, yeah, the April 8th, for a two-city road trip to Fresno and Spokane. I got back last night, 6.5 months on a road trip.
Oh, my gosh.
It started as a hitting coach for a month in Colorado, and then I moved to bench coach, overseeing the hitting program. Then I had my right shoulder replaced on the 30th of September, so I had to stay a couple more weeks for the rehab and recovery, and now finally home for 2 days. And we're going back to the Berg. We're going to see the Pens on Friday night. We're going to have the book launch at the Heinz History Center on Sunday afternoon from 2 to 4. And then Carl and I are going to the Steelers game Sunday night.
That's a hot ticket. You must know somebody.
I made a couple friends while I was there. I was fortunate. People still kind of hold a spot for me every now and then.
Well, as you know, right before kickoff, over the years, they have a tradition where we throw it down to some celebrities. And I remember you and Andrew McCutchen waving the terrible towel at a game right before kickoff. That was fun.
That was fun. It was a memorable experience. I don't think there's anybody in Pittsburgh that's got a better smile than Andrew McCutchen. And to see him walk out, you know, just to watch him, watch the way the city's embraced him over the years, you know, that was probably at one of the high points there. I think it was a 2013 season after that where Kutch had won a lot of awards. The team finally busted a lot of streaks that were going in the wrong way. The fans were so appreciative of seeing him. So hopefully we'll watch a big Steelers win against the Packers on Sunday night.
Andrew McCutchen coming back to the Pirates organization. And as you pointed out with you, you guys took us to three straight playoffs. You saw this team, this city support the team and some magic in those years. And then after that, in spite of everything that goes on in your life and you wear your life very open and we appreciate that. And you've created this book of things that you've said over the years that have helped change people's lives.
Well, I've been fortunate in that ironic kind of way that I've learned a lot of lessons the hard way. And there's a bunch of them in the book, Hurdleisms, that happened in Pittsburgh. And all I'm trying to do is share some experience, some strength, and some hope for somebody out there that may be in a hard spot. They feel lonely. They feel isolated. They're anxious. I've walked through it all, and I'm very transparent in the book. I've failed at 2 marriages. I'm a recovering alcoholic, 26 years sober. I've been released. I've been traded. I've been fired. There's a lot that's happened, but I've learned from it. I've learned from it all, and I decided at one point in time in my life that I wasn't going to feel sorry for myself. I was going to make some lifestyle changes. I was going to make some mental changes, the way I looked at things, and you know, I've been blessed in a wonderful way since those things started happening 26 years ago. I rededicated my life to Christ and I got sober. It's been an amazing ride since then. And Pittsburgh was a big part of a love fest that my family and I had, you know, with everybody there for almost 9 years. It wasn't just on the baseball field. It was in the community. It's a wonderful city. People got big hearts. They roll their sleeves up. They go to work. Your word's good. Your handshake's real. So we look forward to coming back, Carl and I, this weekend.
Amen. And after being, you know, unceremoniously dismissed, you learn lessons and you share those with everybody. But yet, I hope never for a moment did you doubt that the fan base here, I mean, you're on full scholarship with us in Pittsburgh, Clint. You just are.
It was a very warm reception when I went back, you know, with the Colorado Rockies for the weekend. It wasn't so nice on the field because I don't think we scored a run. We might have scored one run the entire 3-game series over the weekend. That pitching staff was incredible. But the love and support that I felt before the games, after the games, in the clubhouse, from a lot of the staff that still works at PNC Park. And, yeah, it's special, man. I'll never forget my time in Pittsburgh, and I'll forever, forever be thankful and grateful to the fan base and the organization. I'm proud to have been a Pittsburgh Pirate, and I was proud to have been your manager.
Well, as you know, back at you from everybody I know, appreciates the work you did here. That said, I want people to understand that you created this chain of people who follow your daily affirmations and encouragement and the things that you have done. And I understand that started with a very small group actually in Colorado, if I remember correctly.
You remember correctly. I was asked to do a leadership meeting, just a leadership get together twice a month with 12 people that were picked within the organization. Kelly McGregor, the team president at the time, asked me to lead this leadership group. When we pick a topic, we'd have a 30-minute talk, share, 15 minutes for questions, and I would print out comments or notes at the end of it and text them to everybody, just kind of a recap. At the bottom of it, I put, make a difference today, love, Clint. Well, I got fired 2 months into the season. The group stopped, but a lady reached out to me over the All-Star break, one of the people in the group, and said, hey, how you doing? I said, well, it's the All-Star break, and I've never had one of these off in a long time. She goes, well, I'm not doing so well. I loved our group. I loved our meetings. I haven't heard from you in 2 months, and you wrote Make a Difference, Love, Clint. I don't think you're making a difference in my life anymore, and I'm not so sure you love me. How about that for a reality check?
Wow.
And then I said, okay. I talked to Carla, and she says, what are you going to do? And I took a walk, and I put some thoughts together. I says, you know what? I'll just start sending them out from afar. Wherever I'm at, I'll start sharing them. So it started with 12 people, and it's up over 8,000 people now. I send out a daily email of encouragement, a daily devotional, and you can get on that list. It's free. It's at clinthurdle.com. All you got to do is type that in your browser. That'll take you to the page. Put in your address, your email address, select what you might want, either both or one, and you'll start receiving them.
Hurdleisms, wit and wisdom from a lifetime in baseball. Do you have a favorite? I remember Clint interviewing Smokey Robinson and all the music that he produced, right? And I made the mistake of asking him, do you have a favorite? He goes, oh, Larry, that's an impossible question. But, is there one that really resonates with you that stick? And there's so many great ones in the book.
Well, the one that I continue to revisit probably, you know, weekly, daily, is Be Where Your Feet Are. There's so many times in life that, you know, if I'm having a conversation, I wasn't really listening. I was waiting to reply. I was in the presence of somebody, but I really wasn't because I was thinking about a lineup that I was going to put out later that day. Just to be where your feet are, to be appreciative of what you have right now today. You can't do anything about yesterday, and you don't even know if you're going to get to tomorrow. So it's plant yourself where you are, be present for the people you're in front of, and make that person that's in front of you right now the most important person in your world.
Boy, that's great advice. And one of my favorites, along with that, Clint, is shower well. Please share what that means, because I think it has a big impact on everybody.
Well, you know, we have days that are hard. Life's hard. And, you know, the flat tire on the way to work, the rejection letter from, you know, a job interview you went to, a firing, an illness, a sickness. There's so many things that happen during the day. And one of the comments I had shared with our team president in Colorado at the time was, we were in a bad place. Kind of like the second halves of both season in Pittsburgh in 11 and 12. We started off so good and things just got hard. And he would come down. I thought he was going to, you know, read me my rights. But he goes, Clint, can I sit down and chat with you a minute? I go, yeah. He goes, it may take a few minutes, but I got a question. He goes, I watch the preparation. I listen at the team meetings. I listen as you guys go over the opposing team. He goes, everything's in a good place, and then the game gets in the way. I go, Kelly, you're exactly right. He goes, what's your message to the guys to keep them optimistic when everything's going wrong around you and you're trying to do everything right beforehand? I said, I just remind at the end of the night, shower well. Get everything that happened to you during the day off of you. Because you're going home to your wife or your kids or a friend, or you're going home to your own space, but you're going home. It's a time to rest and relax There's nothing you can do about what just happened. But what you can do is get some time down, clear your mind, wake up the next morning, you got a fresh start, just shower it all off. Shower well. That's really where it came from.
Herdalism's wit and wisdom from a lifetime in baseball, from cover boy on Sports Illustrated to back in the Berg, 2-4 Sunday at the Heinz History Center and at the Steelers-Packers game. Hope to see you there. Clint, always great to catch up. God bless you, brother. Thank you.
Well, thank you, Larry. You're a good friend. You're a good man. I appreciate everything you do.
You got it. The great Clint Hurdle. I can listen to that kind of just wisdom, Paul, all day.
I'd like to hear him speak at a seminar or a conference and for hours.
He's very engaging and he's very real. You know, he's very open about the downsides of things that have happened in his life and how he's turned it around. And he's happily in a good place.
It's great to see him doing well.
And it's great to have him back in the Berg. Download the free Audacy app, AUDACY, and you can listen back 24 hours or go to our KDK Radio website where we have episodes, they call them now, of different guests that we have. Clint Hurdle, who we just had a moment ago.
Oh, so you could go back and just find that alone by itself.
Yes.
Okay.
Aaron, our producer, puts these together every day. And thank you for that, Aaron. You never met Clint Hurdle, but I think you can tell just from our conversation.
Yeah, great. Amazing guy.
Yeah, I mean, it motivates you because I think a lot of people go through the mornings and you have whatever's weighing on you. You think it's only you to some degree, right? And then somebody like Clint comes along and has had issues that for many people maybe exceed what they're dealing with. And think, well, he's okay. He found a way.
I think the great message that he passes along is that life happens to us all randomly, and sometimes it's fair and sometimes it's not fair. Sometimes you get the breaks and sometimes you don't. What matters is how you respond.
Yep. That's it.
I love when he said his dad told him the only thing that's fair is what's between the white lines.
Exactly.
In baseball.
That's right. Yeah. Yep. And I think, Aaron, the other thing that makes Clint Hurdle a superstar still in Pittsburgh is that he was the skipper when the Pirates were really flying for 3 years. He visited the studio one time, and there was a line of people waiting to get his autograph here in the radio station.
Gosh.
How often does that happen?
We've had a lot of famous people here over the years, you know, between us and the fan and Y108 and the music station, Star 100.7, Whammo. Steven Tyler of Aerosmith was another one that drew a lot of attention. PJ got to stand next to him at the urinal. That was his excitement, our boss.
Well, there's a little fact I didn't know about until now.
But you're right, Paul, when Clint came to visit, and he was still manager of the Pirates, they had to open our Bowser performance area, and it was packed. And everyone wanted to see him, talk to him, shake his hand, get his autograph. So that's pretty cool.
Golden times.
So imagine if he's at the Penguins game and they show him like they did the Steelers.
Yeah.
You think he'll get a warm reception?
Just a nice one, right?
And then same thing when people see him at the Steelers game on Sunday night. But again, if you want to see him, 2-4 Sunday afternoon at the Heinz History Center. Hurdalisms is his book. What else is going on? Coming up, we're going to talk to Christine, Marty's wife. Christine is doing something I think you guys will find very fascinating. She got the call up for a particular thing that she's going to be doing. We'll talk about that with her.
When you say call up, what does that mean?
She was asked to be the MC of an extraordinary event.
Oh, great.
I'll let her tell you. But she'll be joining us next. 925 at KDKA. I had an uncle, Uncle George, my dad's brother, used to say things that remind me of hurdleisms, only they were a little twisted. Like, never be scared of being afraid. From the P.J. Fitzpatrick Home Improvement Traffic Center, powered by Bowser Genesis of Monroeville.
Kind of like Yogi Berra.
Yes. I love it. They say nobody goes to that restaurant anymore. It's too crowded.
Yeah, exactly.
Which, the Yogi Berrisms are extraordinary. How about 90% of this game is half mental? Oh, and there's more. Anyway.
Okay, we should maybe have you do some of those for traffic, because this has been pretty deep this morning, and we continue to have traffic troubles, guys. Southbound 79, you need to leave extra travel time. We have a car fire, and this is just south of the Warrendale exit, just south of the very busy I-79 with Cranberry Interchange. That's where you find the delays, up by 228 on southbound 79. Getting past this, at times there will be heavy restrictions and closures on that road as crews deal with this car fire, and it looks like an accident as well. We have some heavy traffic due to construction on the Turnpike. If you're heading westbound toward the Route 18 Beaver exit, do make sure you leave some extra travel time there. Parkway West slows at the top of the hill. Parkway East lines up at Wilkinsburg. Our next AAA traffic on the fives at 9:35. I'm Ellen Gamble on 100.1 FM and AM 1020 KDKA.
You guys want a couple more Yogi Berrisms? I had to look them up. Oh, they're tremendous.
Oh, man, we could be on the air for another hour and not exhaust them.
Yeah, his most famous, I think, is "It Ain't Over Till It's Over." But here's one. If you don't know where you're going, this is a good one for Ellen, too, being traffic. If you don't know where you're going, you'll end up someplace else. We made too many wrong mistakes. How about this one? When you come to a fork in the road, take it. And yeah, you're right. We could be here all morning. But one final one from Yogi Berra. It's like deja vu.
Yeah. Of the fun things. Because that is Shady Side. And I wanted to highlight that because I happened to be there last night. My own kids actually took me there to dinner for my birthday. And
where'd you go?
We went to Mercurio's, which I had never been to, but the girls have been many times and absolutely loved it. And I was so excited to try it. And it absolutely lived up to the expectation and the high billing. It was fantastic. It's pizza, very, you know, authentic Italian style in the brick oven, and it was so delicious. Absolutely worth the wait because they don't take reservations. But this guide has so many fun things to do. And, you know, while I was there, we stopped at Kawaii Gifts, which, trust me, if your kid is into any of these Japanese toys, they are going to go head over heels about this store. My girls loved it. They've also got some really other fun stores that I hadn't been to Shadyside in a while, but there's a lot of new places that weren't just like the national chains. So they have this great store called Amazing Books and Records. They've got a variety store. So a lot of fun things for kids and families to enjoy, as well as all the amazing restaurants. Like I said, Mercurio's, there's Girasole's, there's Pamela's, there's more on the list. So check out our guide.
Check out Shadyside. All right, simple ways to encourage your kids to become avid readers.
You know, I loved what they said in this story about reading on kidsburg.org. They said reading is a superpower. And I think that's so true because we don't think about all the other benefits that come with reading. But first of all, it improves kids' literacy. It helps them do well in school in so many ways you don't even realize because it's kind of indirect. So this is, you know, they don't have to just read the books that they're reading for school. If they're reading just on a regular basis, they're going to be learning so much. And it takes you to new places. It teaches you about different people, gives you ideas of how different people think. It's just so important. And so they have some really simple ways to help your kids get excited about reading and hopefully become avid readers for their lifetime. But the number one thing is to be consistent when they're young and just read together every day. And it can be 5 minutes. That's all it takes. But if you do it consistently, it becomes a normal thing. It becomes a habit. Some of the other things are being a role model yourself in reading. You know, maybe you're reading on your laptop or your iPad and they don't know that's what you're doing. Tell them, hey, I'm reading the newspaper. Hey, I'm reading a book or whatever it may be. I'm reading an article. Have books in your home available for your kids and for yourself, and get a library card. If you haven't been to the library in a long time, it has changed so much. You can order your books online. They'll bring them in from all over the region for you and have them ready to go. They don't charge fines like they used to, and you only get it for a week. Now, you know, you can keep it for weeks as long as no one else wants it. And they're like, hey, just keep it. If you're enjoying it, keep it. So it's just, they make it so easy for you now at the library. And the biggest resource is librarians. I mean, they're going to help you find books your kids are going to love. So take advantage of it.
I haven't been for a while, but I hear it's amazing the changes that have been made.
Yeah.
They've redone a lot of libraries around the region.
Well, and I didn't even get into the non-reading related things that libraries are doing now. I mean, they really are community hubs. But as someone myself who regularly uses a library, like just yesterday, I got two books from the library. You know, it really has changed. You can even get books on tape from the library. So maybe you want to be listening to a book in the car with your kids. You know, maybe that makes a fun time for you guys. If you maybe it's too hard to like read out loud or you can't find that time, use the time in the car to follow a book along.
Kidsburg.org. Thank you, Christine. Are you staying around?
I am. I'll be here with Marty from 10 to 11.
It's not coming from Brent Veach and Andy Reid, and it's not coming from Sean McVay. It's coming from the Cleveland Browns. And yeah. You're seeing exactly
you know
what
why
people
it's not,
outside of Cleveland
you know,
think of the Browns, outside of
you
Browns
know
fans.
Why it's not coming from those guys?
Because they didn't draft him. They didn't want him to begin with. This was the one team that wanted him, and they're telling you he's behind. Maybe it's not a grand conspiracy. Maybe everybody is right, and the Shador fans, you wackos.
Maybe it's your guy is just not ready. Maybe you got to come to grips with it.
The Ken Carmen Show with Anthony Lima on Apple Podcasts, Spotify, and wherever you get your podcasts.
I'm Dr. Mary Claire Haver. Ready for honest conversations about thriving in midlife? Listen to and follow my new podcast, Unpaused, available now wherever you get your podcasts.